Today on the Cooligans, it is a Champions League heavy show. We are starting today the top topic, Real Madrid against Atletico Madrid. Incredible game, a lot of trash talk, incredible goals, but a lot more after that.
Exactly, because we've got the rest of Champions League. We got Liverpool somehow stealing one against PSG, Barca over Benfica, Benfica cursed, so is PSV's defense with Arsenal scoring seven, and then of course we got to talk a little bit about Bayern Munich versus Bayer Leverkusen. Oh, there's so much. Today on the Cooligans. All right, so I got a little hot take. Okay,
wait. That's what the show's about.
Yeah, this is what we're here for. Here's my thing. You're a good example, right?
Women are okay.
Imagine. When did we make it okay for them to hit us? I was like, I got to talk to you about my wife really quick. I may have said something out of turn, and now she hit me. No, what I want to bring up is everyone knows this about me. I love going out to eat, okay? Mm-hmm. I love the experience of inviting other people.
You like going in to eat.
Oh my God. You know, I like going around to eat as well. No, but here's the thing. I like going out to eat. I like inviting other people to come eat with me. You know what I mean? Me and my wife go out. There's no such thing as a third wheel, fourth wheel, other couples. Everybody's involved. Everybody get in here. I, having hung out with chefs, they love to eat by ordering a bunch of stuff off the menu, and then everybody tries a little bit. Right?
Gotcha, yes.
Every once in a while, someone wants to come out to eat with me and my wife, or whatever, and they want to order their own entree and their own appetizer. I get it. You're kicking it old school. Here's my hot take. Bruh, we could remain friends. I don't want to go out to eat with you, bro. Like, why? Now I'm ordering four entrees for all of us to try, and you're over there huddled over there like you think I'm cheating off your test.
You know what I mean? Interesting. Okay, so you're
you got the guards up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sort of. When it comes to food, you're more polyamorous,
buddy.
Share.
It's a food orgy.
a food orgy.
I want my fork to dip itself in wherever it finds space.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
The only
rule is there are no rules.
We don't want these traditional,
right,
conservative,
nah,
folks. That's why there's a pineapple at the door.
Buddy, an upside down pineapple, baby. But here's my thing. Like, if you can't go to an orgy with your lady and then just do that and then bounce.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? Mm. You didn't really partake in an orgy. You just had sex in a much smellier, louder room.
Correct. Right.
So I go out to eat, you know what I mean? Like, let's order a couple of things. What do you like on this menu? I like this. I like that. I like that. I'm like, all right, you know, I like those things as well. Let's order that. Maybe toss one or two other things in. We'll all try. The only real argument is if there's anything left over, who takes it? Who liked that dish more? Then we can get into a conversation. But if you're like, well, I like this appetizer. I want the deviled eggs for myself. You just gonna sit there and eat seven pieces of deviled eggs?
You know what's funny is that the food orgy ethics and the regular orgy ethics are kind of the same.
They really there's a lot of overlap.
There's a lot of overlap,
right?
As there is in an orgy.
The only difference is in an orgy, you come with your own food, and you're probably gonna leave with that same food. You can't be like, yo, let's swap.
God, I mean, you gotta have boundaries somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, as someone who has partaken in meals with you, yes, I'm a little bit. I'm sort of fine with both. I don't have any particular preference. I also don't. I am not as hardcore about the food and eating.
Also works with the orgies.
You know, with the eating experience. I just want to get in there and get out and then do something else.
Eating for you is like how people, you know, who drive like old cars think about a gas station. It's like, ugh, I got to do this again. I'm doing this so much more than I want to.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know how people always say that about their old car. Like, I got to take it.
It's like, oh, I got to get a car that gets better gas mileage, or I'll do this as much. That's how you feel about food. The less you can do it, the better.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I mean,
you
like,
and I are the exact opposite.
Again, I enjoy if it's good food. Yes, lovely. Mm-hmm. We'll enjoy that. When I have a meal, I'm not thinking about, oh, my next meal is going to be great.
But do you ever leave a restaurant thinking, I wish I would have got to try those other dishes as well?
Literally
see,
never.
See, this is okay. See, Carter agrees with me.
Literally
this is
never.
What I'm talking about. The way I want to eat, you get to experience the full breadth of what the restaurant offers.
Sure, sure.
You want what's on your plate, and that's it.
Sure. I say, hey, maybe next time I'll get that. Who knows? Who knows if I'll ever be here again? Not.
This is ridiculous. So you don't plan this out? On the way out, you don't say to the maitre d', what do you got to open next month? There's three dishes I didn't get to try on this menu. No,
not at all.
It's ridiculous.
Hey.
It's a weird way to live, dude. I'm not going to lie to you.
Sure. You know what I mean?
The guy who grew up in a city
that's... That's why you're going to hell, Alexis.
15,000 restaurants in this city. And you're like, you know what? I'll get to some of them eventually.
Sure. Where are the arcades? That's where I want to go.
Yeah. Where's my people?
All right. Where's the next Dance Revolution tournament?
By the way, we should have pachinko in this city, bro.
Like, yeah,
yo, in Japan, bro.
Sure. Well, you know what's funny? Not pachinko, Plinko. Remember Plinko?
Of course. Do I remember Plinko? What am I? 10?
I was when I used to work at Sean John. There was somebody there that they heard my name Polanco, and then for the rest of like my 5 years there, they called me Plinko. That was just
okay.
The name I had. So I always think of when I think of Plinko, I always think of that.
Anyway. I don't want Plinko. Although Plinko around the city would be fun.
Okay, this has gone on way too long.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Well, you didn't stop it at any point.
Welcome to the pod, everybody. We are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We have a lot to go over today. A lot of Champions League stuff. A lot of wild stuff.
This was an exciting round of Champions League. It also reminded me of like the old format. You know, we're getting to the point now where...
Sure. It feels a lot more familiar.
This is way more familiar.
But you know, everything we were saying about the round of 32 where we were getting matches that were like felt a little knockout. Like early, and like at the Madrid derby this early sometimes feels a little bit, because that was a final a couple years ago, sometimes it feels like this could be another example of that, I didn't expect this one this early, but it is what it is. So we're going to talk about Champions League today. We're going to talk about and also a ridiculous goal in Liga MX Femenil. I just also want to mention before we get started, the Patreon, join us there. We have the ISC roast, the MLS and NWSL roast that we did.
And some lower league jokes.
Yep. But it's an incredible experience. We've already gotten a lot of great feedback. So join the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans. And let's play a joke from the ISC roast right now.
FC Dallas are terrible. It's a shame that the U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame is at their stadium. That would be like if they put the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Nickelback's living room. It doesn't belong.
It doesn't make sense.
We got a couple of Nickelback fans. Okay. Yeah, that happens. That happens sometimes.
I love when they're not that bad. That's their official slogan.
Hilarious.
Hilarious. I mean, how?
Who are those two?
Those are some of the most...
Hollywood is where they should be.
Those are some of the most talented comedians I've ever heard.
I mean, you find another two comedians that could do a roast about MLS and lower leagues.
Exactly. No, but so shout out to everyone in Minnesota for that. But no, that was a really fun experience. So patreon.com/soccercooligans if you'd like to watch the full thing.
The whole thing is crazy good. So you got to join.
As a bunch of jokes, a lot of crowd work. It's a proper, in a nice American soccer comedy show. Best way to put it.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, let's get started and talk some Champions League footy. So we're going to start today with the top topic.
Yes.
We have the official name.
Uh-huh.
So
Real Madrid versus Atleti.
Yes.
Huge matchup. You mentioned it maybe a little too early. I love this. Every round, there seems to be a final. This feels like the final itself. There was a crazy stat from it. It's not pulled up right now.
Sure. Yeah, I have it. Yeah. So for Real Madrid, this was the 300th Champions League win, 63 more than the second closest club, which is Bayern Munich, which is also kind of, I'm surprised it's Bayern. I mean, there's a Bayern has had the last decade, arguably, before they won it in 21, right? The COVID year.
Yeah, of course.
But before that, it had a rough go kind of in Champions League, where they were just...
But they are like a super club. These are two super clubs within their own leagues. And for them to, you know, first of all, to be 63 ahead of the second place, that's why this is the top topic.
Yeah, okay?
Real Madrid, I just think shows you... Versatile seems like the wrong way to put it. There's something about them where there's almost impossible to figure them out because they don't do anything truly specific. They're just really good at a lot of things.
Yeah, I would say that there's a clear incentive and strategic plan in place to win the Champions League, right? Where, yes, they've
won it more than anybody else.
And it's like, yes, we are trying to win the league and blah, blah, blah. But it's like they know what the cash cow is, and they know where to put the energy in.
They treat La Liga like the training for Champions League.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where not being in Europe, it's like, I guess I could compare it to like our Champions League or our champion, mm-hmm. CONCACAF Champions Cup, where just LAFC hosted a game. I forgot who they were playing against, but they hosted a game and they were little under 8,000 people at this game. So sometimes it feels like Champions League is not as important to league play, especially for Premier League fans. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes they don't really even care about it. Even if their team is in it, I just the fervor on the weekend from a bad call or some, it just seems more intense. It seems louder, and Champions League doesn't. I don't know what it is, and I'm all ears of like why it doesn't necessarily feel the same. It's not as charged,
but for English fans,
the state of just social media, it just seems loud. I don't know if it's do more people watch on the weekend than watching Premier League games. I just feels like, but for Real Madrid, it just feels like it's the opposite.
Yeah, this I think is for their, every other,
this is the league that they focus on
for every other nation. I agree with you. I think it's part English fans having then to say like, oh, something that's not English is the best.
Sure.
Kind of feels like something their ego probably can't take. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I'm going to get flamed now for saying that. But it's true. It's like if it's not happening within the borders of England, it's almost like, well, then that's not important to us. That's a secondary competition when it couldn't be further from the truth. I think it should mean more to a Liverpool fan to win Champions League against some of the greatest clubs in the world versus just winning the Premier League.
Which is interesting because Liverpool did win the Champions League in the long stretch of never winning their domestic league. And that's sort of seen as like, but you didn't win the league. You know what I mean? Like it's just
crazy.
It's just kind of crazy.
Chelsea, remember when Chelsea won it with Roberto Di Matteo?
Mm-hmm.
There was like this random run of the team wasn't doing well. I think they finished outside of European spots that year, but they won the Champions League. And people were like, yeah, but you didn't win the domestic league. No one would ever say that to Real Madrid.
And maybe it's a specific thing of like the country. Because my perception is, let's say, like German fans and Bundesliga fans of Champions League is like, yeah, at least we're in Champions League. How nice that they invited us to the party.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never this expectation that they're going to win. Understanding, you know, what the limitations in a competition like that the 50+1 rule puts on them, and they're not able to sign all the players that they can't compete with the signings that are on these other squads and stuff like that. So it's just an interesting kind of perception of.
I think it's the English ego. They think their league is the single most important part of football.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Champions League is a way for the other leagues to compete with us.
It's interesting because it's led to them making the most money. And
I mean, it worked.
A lot
them.
Of success,
yeah, it
right?
Out for
yeah,
them.
It's all propaganda, basically. Yeah. But let's the Madrid derby, an incredibly entertaining game. We got three great goals, and
three incredible goals.
It's always fun when
trash talking,
but it's fun when there's like this felt like one of the more stylish, like every goal was just like beautiful.
Oh, yeah. This was a showcase of extreme talent,
sure,
of elite level talent.
Mm-hmm.
No, and also ankles that seemingly are made out of rubber. What? How is Brahim Diaz's goal possible, man?
Yeah, that was Wahoo. It's Jimenez that was defending against him. And
who got juked out of his shorts,
but
bro.
He got juked because he's like, yo, my man just shattered his ankle. Yeah, so let's get some medical
attention.
Why would
you also go down with him? You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to get down on
but
the
that
ground.
Was like such a deep, deep body faint of like, I'm going to
kill a crossover. This is like AI level, Allen Iverson level crossover.
You never, if somebody's ankle looks like that, You are not assuming they're gonna cut back on you.
If my ankle looks like that, how long am I out? 6 months?
So the audio listeners, if you're not aware of what we're talking about, Brahim Diaz is he's cutting back. to go inside on his right foot. But as he does that, he rolls his ankle.
He rolls the outside ankle. His laces are touching the grass.
Right now, we're looking at his. It looks like a backwards L.
Yeah, like if you did this to your G.I. Joe, it might not go back normal. You know what I mean?
And not only did he do this, and then he cuts back and then bangs in a great goal to the far post gets by Oblak. A great goal.
Incredible.
Getting through two defenders.
And Simeone had said something in the press recently about Real Madrid has an incredible midfield. Mentioned a couple players. Luka Modric, I can't remember who else. They said, he goes, and also Brahim Diaz is there. Basically,
yes.
To paraphrase, mm-hmm. So Brahim Diaz heard that and said, "You think I won't destroy my own ankle to show you wrong?" Does this a beautiful curler, probably only overshadowed by Julian Alvarez's curler from the same position, essentially,
sure.
Which was a little bit nicer.
Alvarez was further back and much nicer.
But but if not, this is the goal we're talking about.
Sure.
But he turns around and basically says, habla ahora. Talk now, bruh.
Yeah.
Talk now. Keep my name out your mouth, but also put my name back in your mouth. It's a weird statement.
Okay. Yeah. He has thoughts on the food orgy as well.
Yeah. Hey, buddy, get in the conversation.
So he says the comment he made, De Simeone said, Brahim no creo que juegue. He's meaning I don't think he's gonna play. And Brahim, after the goal, says, hablaste ayer, habla ahora. Like, you were talking yesterday, why don't you talk now?
Yeah, yeah,
And which I love, because Simeone is also a bit of a, he still behaves like a player.
He's like a catalyst.
He's not afraid. This is, I think, part of his, how long has he been manager at Atletico?
Since
2015 years or something.
2010?
Something along those lines. I think he's second to Vermees, right? Whatever, for 10 years.
In Europe, he's by far the longest.
And it's one of those,
also the highest paid.
The job security.
2011.
2011,
yeah. The job security. He's like, I can talk to whoever I want, however I want.
I got the key to every door in this building. You know what I mean?
So it was just cool to see. Just a really good game of two teams that are in form. I still love watching Antoine Griezmann, whether it's in La Liga.
This is literally what I was going to say. Antoine Griezmann is one of the most timeless players I've ever seen play.
Now, it's not exactly slow motion where he's not athletically, he can't keep up with the pace of the game. It's like he slows the game down where you have to go, you have to play at his pace.
Right. It's like how Luka Modric has been able to stay at this level for so long. Griezmann, I think, is a little bit more athletically inclined than Luka Modric.
Sure, yeah. He plays more up front.
Yeah. But also, he's just has a little bit more capability. Luka Modric feels he does the things he does extremely well. I feel like there's a longer list of things that Griezmann does. But Griezmann, there's something about him where he now knows. He's like, bro, I done seen these motions a million times. There's nothing that happens in the game that he feels is new. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So he's almost really prepared. Who was it that was I think it was Wayne Gretzky who said the game is in slow motion to him.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like Griezmann's playing the same way. Griezmann will turn his body in a way and defenders are just sliding around him. And it's he didn't really do nothing. And it feels like this is the type of player who hasn't gotten enough credit for the longevity he's had, how great he's been for so long. Maybe it was that move to Barca that kind of put a little stutter in his career.
He's just went to the wrong college. Didn't go.
100%.
Just didn't
you
go.
And coach didn't get along. But you went back and now you're good again.
100%.
There's something about his career that for some reason we don't talk about him with the reverence we should. But this man, bro, to be moved back to the midfield when he goes to, the national team and to look good. I mean, to look excellent in both positions, forward, wing, or whatever, your midfielder, wherever you put him, he seems to excel. This is one of those players that in the future, people are going to be doing highlight compilations and we're going to be like, oh yeah, he did do that. And meanwhile, we saw the whole thing.
I mean, there's rumors of him coming to MLS.
Says he's very open about loving America.
I would love that. And my favorite thing about Antoine Griezmann, that he's a Latino chameleon. You know what I mean? He will speak in your, he speaks Spanish obviously very well.
Yeah. He'll talk to you in your native accent.
He'll talk to you in your native accent.
He'll walk in with the ya tu sabes.
So I've seen him do it with Mexican people, with Colombian people. And it's just a fun thing where he's very appreciative of of like people's culture, especially basketball players. The Harlem Globetrotter photo,
right? Oh, yeah, well, that's a classic. There are some negatives.
He did make a mistake.
Yeah. So a couple times, actually.
He got flamed for it.
He just really loves other cultures, man.
All right, so that's been top topic. A big game, obviously, in Champions League. We have a lot of other Champions League matches to go over because they were wild as well. So we'll do that right after this. All right, a lot more Champions League to cover. We got to start right now with Liverpool against PSG. Liverpool came in to the Parc des Princes and, I don't know, broke the glass, stole the artifact, bro, and left.
They showed up with Bally's on, bro. Ski masked up, shiesties on. This is crazy. PSG, first of all, this is one of the best games in all of Champions League.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the best matches I've seen.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And this whole round, the whole thing from league stage to now. This was absolutely incredible. But by far, PSG were the better team in every way, shape, or form, except one, goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I mean, look, ain't just goals given away. I mean, Liverpool didn't have, what was it, two shots on target? We can get the exact stats.
Alisson Becker, in the other side, right, in goal for Liverpool, had 9 saves. That's the joint most all-time in a Champions League game.
Mm.
This man... whenever he plays, they should make the goal behind him a little bigger. This is rude.
Well, as I was watching Alisson make all these spectacular saves, I was just like, "This is Ederson must be like, I'm never going to even wear the Brazil shirt ever again."
Yeah.
I'm like,
what more do I got to do?
And there was a time when Ederson was just, especially in Premier League, dominating and could only get matches against like Venezuela, get many big games.
Hey, we're playing Bolivia. You wanna
come in here?
Yeah, you wanna show up? Shirt this time.
You're not gonna be able to breathe here.
Yeah.
But Alisson is we were talking off air, like, is he the best goalkeeper in the world? And with performances like this. It's also strange because Alisson is also not really ever put in positions like this where he is getting pelted with shots. Point.
This game was very unlike Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
This was where I'm like, hey, I hope other teams are watching in the Premier League how this is going,
mm-hmm.
because PSG's press was unrelentless, but also...
Unrelentless or relentless?
Whichever one I'm supposed to say there.
Relentless is the word.
Unrelenting, I think, is what I wanted to say.
Unrelenting is another word, yes.
I think that's what I was trying to say. And then my brain was like, yo, why don't we merge these joints real quick? Right? So I pulled in Alexis there. It was unrelenting. It was nonstop, but it wasn't just heavy metal press, like, you know, like what, like gegen pressing and stuff.
Yeah.
It was like every time the ball just bounced off these guys' shins or thighs, it went right in the position where a PSG player could take advantage of it. And they were so sharp on a counter. They were so sharp at getting into that final third very quickly. Even if they had to set up their attack, it seemed like they were all getting into position super quickly, to the point where I was like, bro, Liverpool's back line is looking stretched. And you mentioned it as well when the Ousmane Dembele miss, where he had like 3 touches that he probably shouldn't have taken.
Mm-hmm.
Completely no one in front of him. Where the hell is Virgil van Dijk? I've never seen him so out of position.
It was very odd. It looked like he was trying to stop a cross, a potential cross, or marking a trailing runner.
It looked like they were both like 7 feet to the left. You know what I mean? Like, why are you standing over there, bro? The goal's in front of him.
I mean, I get maybe it's with the confidence of like the goalkeeper you have. He's like, I could do circles in the box.
Bro,
over
I'm
here.
Gonna go get a cigarette because this guy's got me, bro.
So we rarely see Virgil van Dijk
all of Liverpool get stretched this much.
No, but even specifically with him, we don't really ever see him make like goofy looking errors and stuff like that.
Because
like
one of the things that he's most known for is always being in the right position.
Sure.
Right? That's why his stats aren't crazy, like X amount of tackles, because he doesn't need to. He's always in the right spot.
Exactly.
This one, he was not in the right spot.
The right spot.
But Alisson was like, I got you.
Kvaratskhelia, like, there's just... Everybody out here can dribble, can do whatever. Like there was a.
What's the point? You're saying they're too good?
No. I'm saying that they play in a fancy way. Like there's a certain class and quality.
Oh, there's not enough grit.
And that's why I'm saying compared to a Liverpool,
which will do the dirty work,
and maybe just playing in the Premier League, and this ain't they. They're not here to do. But
they're too Parisian is what you're saying.
But it showed that look at Liverpool held that like held up against that because Trent, how many times was Trent Alexander-Arnold getting cooked? I mean, and it's not a
He got au poivre.
It's not even about like, oh, he's a bad defender. Yeah, we sort of understand that. And sometimes he has good games, sometimes
we understand his deficiencies, and we understand what makes him great. But his deficiencies were getting showcased.
Because he has to mark Ousmane Dembele, yeah. And it's like most defenders are going to look kind of bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it's a Trent Alexander-Arnold against a guy like that, it's going to look really, really
bad.
But
there is something that happens to PSG. The moment it takes to finalize all the hard work you did, putting yourself in the right position, having the speed to get to the final third, putting players in position that are making some of the world's best defenders look confused, everything. The last step is getting a good shot on target. Yeah. And more times than not, they fail at that part. And there's something, I think Luis Enrique is one of the best managers in the world. I love the way he wants to set up. I love the balls it took him to tell Mbappe, hey, you're off in the 28th minute. It's going to look bad for all of us, mm-hmm. but I got to do it. This got to be my team. He did everything. He's done everything right. The one thing he can't do is convince these guys to take that part of the game just a little more seriously. Have a little bit more like, yo, the world's going to collapse if you don't get this goal in. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's something about the way Harvey Elliott shot that ball that said like, I need to do this. You know, I need to do this for the Liverpool massive. João Neves' miss is crazy.
Crazy is not the word I would use.
It's crazy. You're never going to get that much space in front of goal against Liverpool.
I honestly thought he took a decent chance. He hit the ball into the ground. The likelihood that a ball hit into the ground goes over the bar is almost insane. Like,
can I offer you another option? A clean shot on target. How about just one of those?
Look, as a gentleman who has missed plenty of sitters in my Sunday league.
Well, can I tell you something? If João Neves does something the way you have in Sunday league, then already the level has dropped too far.
I'm just going to show a little bit more grace to Mr. Neves. But yeah, I mean, look, there were a lot of misses. Was that one egregious?
Yes. I love João Neves. I think João Neves is incredible. Vitinha, incredible. These players are out of Barcola's miss when Alisson is way out of position, you know, because he sort of ran out.
Yeah.
That's another one where I'm like,
yeah, that one. To me, that one was worse because there was nobody in front of him. I mean,
that's also a scramble moment. You don't train for those.
Yeah, exactly.
What João Neves did, something that happens all the time, is a ball comes to you. Yeah, there was a little hop. He saw it. Sure. Yeah, he wanted to add an extra hop. There's so many hops.
I think it's a smart move to hit the ball into the ground like that. It causes a bounce, and the defenders have a much more difficult time. The fact that it went over the bar is great. And it's something you don't even really see. You don't see misses like that.
I think if given the chance, he probably goes, you know what? How about just bang it straight?
Hey, man.
Should I go?
Look, at that point, it's all geometry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You hate math, this guy.
But Kvaratskhelia did end up scoring.
Kinda,
but it ended up being offside.
Wonder goal. He played very well, by the way.
Yeah, and every time I see him, I'm just like, bro, are you wearing shin guards? I'm a little bit worried about you.
Yeah,
like,
his
socks are so low.
Yeah, well, that's what you were saying, like fancy, and then you said a Georgian guy. You know, like this is a hard scrabble type dude, bro.
His goal ended up being offside in the buildup. Just
a heel of his foot.
It's a bummer because he's coming back onside to receive the ball. But yeah, technically he is off by a couple inches.
If you're not facing goal, you shouldn't be allowed to be offside. And I know that can be very easily taken apart. But there's something really dumb. But I guess maybe more of his foot as well. But this just feels really dumb.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's following the rules. It's the right call. It just feels dumb. And that's, I'm not just saying that because I want Liverpool to lose any opportunity.
Credit to Liverpool, though. They, as far as, you know, that defensive line and that chemistry, they, as soon as the ball was sent back outside the box, the instinct to get back for all the defenders to be in line was instant, and you saw it was a instinctive thing that they did, and that's the reason they end up winning this game, because although Alisson making all those saves and blah blah blah, But then it's moments like that that keep you in games and help you win titles, and especially like Champions League. So
crazy.
Let's move on. Barcelona against Benfica.
Yeah, Cubarsí gets a red card in this. And Benfica, you're like, Nico made a video where they're like, it shows how Benfica is like cursed when it comes to these competitions.
Sure.
And you're like, curse is over, baby.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Castle red.
And then somehow they still find a way to lose this match, man.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy. I think there was, what was the stat here? Since the start of 2024, Rafinha has been directly involved in more Champions League goals, UEFA Champions League goals, than any other player with 17. This dude is on a heater this year. This is like the perfect Hansi Flick player.
Sure. I did think the red card, the most hilarious part was Cubarsí.
I thought you were going to say you thought it was harsh.
No, I didn't think it was harsh. Oh, okay. But the most hilarious part was Cubarsí going to the ref and doing the signal of like, I got the ball. He didn't even, he didn't know where the ball was.
This is like when I tell my wife they were out of the thing she told me to get at the store. And the one thing I forgot, they don't do sour cream no more. They just stopped. Well, they just said they're done. And she's like, what are you talking about? Like, I can see it in the window. This was the same thing. A falsehood.
There was just no truth. And then what's funny is that.
And you know they're going to go to the camera.
But what I loved the most was, I think it was Lewandowski or somebody else going to Cubarsí, like, what happened? And he's like, no, I got the ball. And he's like, fine, go look, ref.
Yeah.
My man just said he got the ball.
If I'm lying, I'm dying. Yo, why are you digging a hole real quick?
It's just like, but the fact that you know, you're gonna try to embellish as much as possible, but to lie to your teammates?
Yeah.
To be like, nah, there's nothing to worry about. Well,
I think Cubarsí hit him so hard, he thought his knee or his leg was the ball. You know what I mean?
It's just absolutely comical.
And I get why Cubarsí did it. Like, you don't want someone to score a goal, but you can't take him out like that.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a red card.
I mean, if he gets the ball, then everybody's gonna be like, what a great challenge. Yeah,
yeah. Cubarsí is an incredible defender, man.
And to his credit, he was sort of close, but he was like scrambling. Well, he wasn't really in control of his body.
The player was really smart about positioning his body and in between him. It was really smart.
But you mentioned obviously Rafinha scoring the goal. Rafinha, he also just gets gifted the ball, right? Like, it's
poor Benfica,
but this, it just says a lot about, you know, we were talking about Hansi Flick and the goal that they gave up in the Copa del Rey semifinal against Atleti, and like of like, he's gonna play the way he plays no matter if he's
winning
by five goals, even down a man, and this is just where something Benfica couldn't adjust to, the fact that they did have a man advantage, but I think the mentality and just the psychology around it was like, oh no, they weren't playing with the confidence of like, yeah, we got him, we got to play, we have.
But it's also because Hansi Flick, like you said, will always attack.
Yeah,
every time they get the ball, they're like, do they know they're down a man? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, so it says a lot about just, you know, especially those forward players like Rafinha, players like Lewandowski, like they have to do a lot more. Mm-hmm. They have put a lot more defensive pressure, get back to defend.
You also have to be athletically like a peak of your athleticism to be able to play in a Hansi Flick system.
I mean, this obviously credit to Barcelona for not giving up a goal, but I mean, embarrassing for Benfica to give up the goal that they did and a giveaway like that. Like, you're up a man. Don't pass it to another player. You have an extra guy to pass to.
It's crazy.
Then they do.
You're at an advantage, and somehow you find a way to pass to one of their players.
It's a terrible, terrible mistake.
I will say, though, the Portuguese league is really on the up. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like that, you know, the big five or whatever, and where Portugal sat a few years ago, they're starting to change that. It feels like Porto, Benfica, Sporting, they're all kind of getting better, and they're getting a little bit more competitive internationally. But it goes to show that that gap is still there.
Sure.
It's crazy.
I mean, but also, Benfica sometimes feels like the like in Toy Story, the like the castaway toys.
I never saw Toy Story.
Damn, bro, you're missing out on beauty. Yeah, you had no childhood, dog.
I get it. I get it. Toy Story is the Woody and Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah,
right?
Bro. Yeah.
I mean, I get it.
This is always like Star Wars. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to watch it.
Dude's like, yo, you my father.
You got little light swords.
Yeah, bro. I get the idea of it. You know, but
it's whatever like that guy's name is. Island of Misfit Toys kind of a thing where it's like all the.
I also didn't see that.
But they, all the players that so were decent at clubs or won titles, but they
Benfica also builds players. Like Ángel Di María came from there.
Sure. Yeah. But Benfica is like notorious for
Bruno Fernandes, I think, came from there.
No, Bruno Fernandes came from Sporting.
From Sporting.
Okay. But they like, you know, with certain signings, they're scouting. It works. They do good business or whatever.
They're really good at getting players from Brazil and then flipping them to the rest of Europe.
Yeah, yeah. There's just it's like real estate.
I got my territory unlocked. Let's talk a little bit about my favorite team, Arsenal, 7-1 against PSV.
Yeah. What is really there to say here? I asked the question.
This was at PSV, though.
Yeah. I asked the question.
This a whooping.
I asked the question, what was more shocking, Arsenal scoring 7 with no striker or PSV giving up 7 goals against a team with no striker?
It has to be scoring. Yeah, it's chicken or the egg is what you're asking here. But scoring when Arsenal hadn't scored in 2 weeks, you know, in the last two matches, looking devoid of ideas. You go up against PSV, suddenly the ideas are flowing. The writer's block is over.
That was a surprising thing, that defensively. I mean, maybe because the goals were given up so early, like it just started early, like they were demoralized pretty quickly.
By the time the second goal had gone in, they were off of defensive, like, shift. Like, I don't want to call them full-on mistakes, but they were like adjustments that weren't made.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you have to now play a bit more aggressive offensively, right? What,
did you see the photo of, was it the striker, De Jong?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the, I
was it off his header?
No. The photo of him when he was on the bench.
Yeah.
And he's just like miserable, like just like almost nearly in tears. It just reminded me of the James Rodriguez moment in the World Cup. Remember when he was on the bench and in tears?
Yeah. I remember that now.
It was like the same exact framing of the shot.
Right.
I think De Jong wasn't as like much in tears, but it was.
It's gut wrenching to watch a team go down 7-1. It's crazy.
At home, bro.
At home in Champions League. This is what you were hoping for.
After having a really good, been great. They've been great in Champions
League. They've been absolutely incredible.
Nobody really expected this from
them. This is the knockout rounds. I mean, you know you're going to do home and away. This is kind of what I didn't like about the group stage, is that you could kind of learn your opponent a little bit better. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can strategize against them. And I'm not necessarily sure what Arsenal did was their strategy was 7-1 worth. It just, as soon as PSV went down 2 goals, it seemed like they were like, all right, we need to attack. We need to find a way to get some of these goals back. And you just left yourself prime open.
Yeah.
You know, Juaneri looked good. MLS came out early. Miles Lewis-Skelly came out a little early. But even Tierney coming in, Ben Whalen coming in, no one skipped a beat. This was a fun match to watch as an Arsenal fan.
Was fantastic. He needed that type of game.
He did. Especially with a lot of the chat has been how bad he's been for like 6 matches in a row. But he clearly needs someone on the right-hand side that is like in the position where Saka would play, and Saka should be coming back soon. But someone in that position Saka would play, he clearly needs them to be a threat.
Yeah.
That's what opens up the opportunity for Odegaard to be able to do what he... Yeah. He needs that space to be able to do what he does best. And when he's on form, he needed that brace real bad. I was hoping he would get after.
I think what Odegaard could use to his game is almost a little bit of similar to Lamine Yamal in the outside scoring threat. Nobody's really worried that Odegaard is going to take a shot from 20 yards out. But if he could,
I counter what you're saying? Because Odegaard tends to hang out towards the top of the box on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
Right? Now, when he does that dribble move across the top of the box that looks like he's going to take that long curling shot, typically he'll have 2 defenders on him. That's what gives everyone else the space.
So I get what you're saying. He sends in a perfect pass.
Every time.
Or at the very least, he tries.
Yeah. So here's my thing. If he has 1 defender on him, you'll typically take that shot. If he could sink that shot more often, I'm with you.
Yeah.
But I think he can show that more on free kicks from that area.
It reminds me, you know, Odegaard to me dribbles like the way Steph Curry kind of dribbles, right? Where it's...
I see it.
He attracts that, that defense and can quickly...
it's like a very last minute
body
so
fit. Just get around you.
You're really committed by the time he makes the move.
And so it's that threat of like, oh, I think I could get the ball right here because he's not really that fast. But if he could shoot, it would draw in defenders so much more heavily.
Yeah.
So that's why I think the point you're making is like when he has that player on his right that is a real threat that will draw some defenders towards them.
Now those defenders have to make a decision.
Exactly.
It's like, how do you want to be killed?
So look, it's more the fact that they scored seven, I was just like, what is...
They're the first team in Champions League history to score seven goals away from home in a knockout match. That's crazy.
Insane,
this
yeah.
competition is crazy.
But it's more insane that it's Arsenal, given all the injuries.
All right.
Given,
when you say it that way, it felt disrespectful.
Because I mean,
I get what you're saying.
We're watching them in the Premier League.
I think it was your tone. I think your tone was a little off. I'm just going to say, change your tone,
It's just such a surprise. But no, a deserved win. And yeah. What do you think they're going to do in the second leg? I'm sit everybody? Just really...
Okay, the last time I said this was when Arsenal were in Europa League against Porto. And I said, well, this is a great chance to rest your starters and play. I was on the soft set with Charlie Davies and Henri. This is when we launched in London. And Henri was like, okay, I heard what you said. And now here's all the reasons you're wrong. and he was right. They played the starters. They ended up losing anyway, but they played the starters. So I'm done saying they should rest their starters.
Okay.
Because it seems like Arteta's even said, if you want to be one of the greatest players, you have to be able to play three matches a week at this point. Right. You're going to be a top player.
It's just
7-1 feels disrespectful to start your starters, though.
It just feels like if there's even one injury to an important player with what Arsenal has already been dealing with, it would just be so frustrating. And those shouts for like, hey, was this the right decision to start the right. strongest team or whatever? But yeah, obviously you hope that doesn't happen. But with a six goal lead
at home, I would love to see some of the younger players get some chance.
100%. I just put the U14s, they'll be fine.
Academy match, huh? Everybody's numbers is three digits on their back.
Okay, last game to
Bayern.
Go. Bayern Munich against Bayer Leverkusen, 3-0. Kind of a shocking.
Is anyone even talking about Xabi Alonso anymore, bro?
They are.
I know they are. I'm just messing. 3-0 though. It's a tough 3-0, one.
It's especially with how last season went with Leverkusen over over Bayern, obviously winning the title and just like dominating pretty much the entire league and Bayern Munich in league phase. But this is a game where I just really didn't expect this result at all. But there's a couple things that I really, maybe I just didn't notice as I was watching Leverkusen. Radetzky. Their goalkeeper is who won them the title last year and everything. He is benched for the backup goalkeeper who has been playing in the cup competitions. You understand, DFB Pokal and stuff like that. But the backup keeper plays in the Champions League.
Right.
And makes a horrendous mistake.
Massive mistake. He goes up for the ball and almost pats it behind him. It rolls off his fingers behind him.
He just doesn't grab it and it goes behind him. The ball is up high in the air. You know, any NFL wide receiver catches this ball.
But if you're going to, it's at your hands. Catch it, you hit it over your crossbar.
Sure.
He hits it right in front of his crossbar.
Yeah. I mean, he is he's around the 6 yard, the edge
he's
of the
He's at the
six
penalty
yard.
Spot.
Yeah. No, not the penalty. Around the 6 yard box.
Oh, is he really? Okay.
Because Musiala all has to do is just tap the ball once, but it falls behind him over his head. And the real issue here is that all the Bayer Leverkusen defenders were like, oh, I see where the ball is going. He's jumping for it. He got it.
Why would you think any? But there's also two defenders. One of you got to be like, all right, let me go behind him just in case.
So none, they didn't because they just
Musiala said, Musiala, right, I'll do it then.
Musiala doesn't take his eyes off the ball, sees where it's going. And as Musiala gets a shot on target, you can see the defenders being like, what?
He also squeezes between the two defenders who are now like last grasp trying to hold him.
Yeah.
It was a pretty silly way to score a goal.
Yeah. And it's one of those.
Or give up a goal.
It's an interesting thing because I think your brain tricks you sometimes where you play the game for so long and so many years. You've seen this play over and over and over and over and over that I think the defenders saw what happened in their head. They were like, oh, he caught it. And then when Musiala celebrating a goal, they're like, wait, I don't understand. He caught it.
Yeah, yeah. How'd the ball end up in the back of the net?
I saw you catch it.
Look in your hands real quick. Do you see the ball? Can't be in two spots at once.
And I forgot the defender. You could maybe, Carter, you can let us know who the two defenders. But you can see him not look at he's looking down as the ball is in the air being caught.
Yeah.
So and obviously he's baffled. When Musiala scores,
why is Musiala trying to get past me? This is a nondescript play.
So it's something where that to me that was a moment of like you can't switch off, you can't think that something is going to happen if you didn't, if it's not actually happening, if you didn't actually see it happen. Because there's a, he had the strongest chance to clear the ball if he just keeps his eye on the ball and keeps looking at it. And that's how you support your goalkeeper. And again, he should just catch the ball. So I understand that. So it's on the goalkeeper. But it is an interesting thing that I think happens while you're playing a game, that you expect the ball to land in certain places. You expect people to, you know, receive the ball in this particular way. Of course,
everyone does their job.
Everyone does their job.
Yeah, yeah. And then I don't have to be told I didn't do my job.
But no, part of your job is also making sure the other people are doing their job.
It's crazy. By the way, Harry Kane, 47 goal contributions to Champions League. So now he's the second most for an Englishman.
Yeah.
Right? David Beckham has 52, so that's five away. Should we grade that a little bit better than what David Beckham has done so far? Because, and this isn't a joke, Carter, most of those goal contributions came while playing at Tottenham, which didn't have as rich a history in Champions League. It's a lot harder to do than being a part of the greatest Manchester United side in David Beckham, where he scored a lot of those goals. Do you think, or some of the bigger even goals, like right, he went to a stacked PSG, he went to a stacked AC Milan. Should we consider what Harry Kane has done a little bit better?
I guess. I mean, it's difficult. They're also playing different positions. You would think
he's a pure striker.
He's a pure striker versus somebody who
midfielder.
Yeah. And obviously, most of those goal contributions are obviously assists.
Yeah.
What's more difficult to do, or what should we appreciate more? And this is a tough one for me. I mean, like it's very close. I'm gonna because I appreciate the artistry that Beckham brought and I think it's harder to do what Beckham did over what Kane is doing. I have goal contribution, obviously the penalty taker and just, you know, sending him the ball and the header that he scored. It's still tough to be a goal scorer. I
would
give it slightly a little, just a bit more to Beckham.
So you don't, there's no asterisk for you based on the fact that he did it with Spurs.
Asterisk meaning like as like it's more impressive.
You grade it on a curve. Yeah, it's almost like, all right, it's starting to be on par, if not a little bit better than what David Beckham did.
Not really, because he's still a striker. I mean, there's plenty of very good players that have played on bad teams that are the only reason.
Especially when you're the guy who gets all the stats for that.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that Tottenham is just this horrendous team.
No, but it's someone that, you know, it's a team that doesn't have like the Champions League history. Yeah.
He's done it in teams that haven't been as successful or even gotten to Champions League as many times and stuff.
Well, now he's doing it on Bayern, and they have. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And then the last part of this game that was interesting, Manu Nora did get subbed off in this game.
He sellied too hard, bro.
Celebrated too hard. You know. Next week we be on the lookout. We have Lola Bonta on the show, and you know, she did this. Her celebration was pretending to pull her hamstring and then twerking.
I'm gonna do it, but keep it for real though.
No twerking after my injury. Yeah. He's celebrating. Was it the second goal?
I think it was Musiala's goal.
Musiala's goal. Which is also, as a goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper Union, what happened?
You can't be celebrating that hard,
bro. You can't be flexing on your bro like that.
You're happy for your team. Thank you. But it's you had to watch another goalkeeper go through that. You don't want to.
This might be a little disingenuous from us actually saying this. Because what's the best part of a comedian's day? Or the funniest thing for a comedian is watching your friend bomb.
The best part?
Unless you're on stage, the funniest thing that could happen, if you're not on stage, is watching one of someone you deeply care about and love just also absolutely bombing on stage.
Watching somebody that you know is funny.
Yeah, of course.
If you know that they're funny
all the time,
then that's not funny. So no,
but someone you know, like, this is out of the norm. Watching them have to suffer.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know the guy's got 8 minutes left, or she's got 8 minutes left.
Yeah.
And 8 minutes feels like an eternity when you're bombing.
Totally.
This might be the reason why he was celebrating. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, I get it. Maybe. But no, the union they're not too keen. If that was a comedy union, maybe that.
They tried that in the 70s, I think, and it didn't work out well. Yeah.
But it is kind of hilarious that he's going to be out for like a month.
It's indefinite. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're going to do more tests. And he just came back from a really long-term injury not too long ago. So you hope he's okay.
I don't know. With goalkeepers and like muscular injuries like that, where is it a, like, do you think if they were running around more, they wouldn't have those injuries. Ooh,
okay, so this is the classic car, you should drive it theory. Right? Like, drive it more because that's what keeps the oil pumping.
Right.
If you let it sit, that's not what the car was built for.
Exactly.
So, okay, this is because you're not out there running around. Although he's probably the one goalkeeper that does that the most, right?
Not as much.
He's the most sweeper keeper still in this league, I think.
He's
still in
play. He's definitely, since his injury, he had the skiing injury.
Yeah.
So that he was out for like a year. And I feel like since then he's kind of calmed down. He retired from the German national team.
Right. Hopefully retired from skiing. Jesus Christ.
And so
what's it going to take for humans to realize you're not sure, shouldn't be going down the side of a mountain fast on two sticks?
How hard do you celebrate? I mean, I've celebrated my teammate's goal, bro. Jesus Christ.
Again, we're going to need you to stop comparing yourselves to Champions League players.
I mean, it's not even, you're just standing there. What are you doing?
Clearly that injury was there already and it got exacerbated.
I don't know how clear it was. He might have went too hard.
He would have gotten injured at another time. I don't think it was just the celly.
That's why he just makes it more embarrassing.
We need video of the celly. I need any 4K video of the celebration.
All right, let's move on. We got to do some run that back. We got to talk about literally one of the craziest goals. If you think you've sort of seen it all in this,
someone
sport,
unlocked
you
just something that's never happened in this sport.
We'll be back with run that back. Let's talk about one of the wildest goals we have ever seen in our lives.
I first of all, I had to watch this thing like 6 times to figure out exactly what went down here.
Yeah, you have to watch it a couple times just to be like, did my eyes see what I think they saw?
Right.
And because, like I was mentioning earlier, you think you've seen everything.
Mm-hmm.
This game has existed for over 100 years. We've seen all the highlights, whether they're in black and white, whether they're in 8K.
You ain't adding nothing new.
There's not really something. There's been so many goals. There have been so many shots. There have been so many passes. Nobody's really going to do anything shockingly different.
Right.
And that's exactly what this was. So this...
Jackie Ovalle. And that's why she is the feature for our Run That Back.
Run That Back today. We got to look at one of the wildest goals in that we've ever seen. This is Liga MX Femenil. Tigres against Chivas Guadalajara, and we're looking at it now. Jenny Hermoso sends in a great cross that Jacqueline Ovalle, Lisbeth Jacqueline Ovalle,
putting her whole government out there. I don't even know what goes through your head to suggest this move is one I could make here that will benefit me.
I made the joke that, do you remember Stuart from Mad TV? Remember the character?
I can do it. Let me do it.
Look what I can do.
Yeah.
And
that's
he used to do
is.
Like a little kick, like a little thing, like a kid trying to impress his mom and her friends. And that's kind of what this was. It's
the Higuita scorpion kick.
But a spin scorpion.
Right, which makes scorpions even scarier.
I didn't know scorpions had this feature.
When did you download that update, scorpions? It's almost like, whatever, just get a foot on it and then maybe something positive will happen.
Uh-huh.
And the ball goes in. And I love living in a world. So the female version, the women's game version of a Puskas is the Marta.
The Marta, right.
This, hands down, has to be the winner of the
Marta. I don't know what is going to compete. We're looking at the angle from the sideline, from basically the end line.
You better score from the stands if you want to beat this. There's just no other way.
Put this in full screen, Carter, so we can really focus on it. This is just such a cool moment. Start it from the top. Because the ball from the, there's a couple moments that are really beautiful. It's Jenny Hermoso sending a great ball in.
Great.
And then the goal, we can't exactly see it here, but Jenny Hermoso, as the ball goes in, Jenny Hermoso is on her knees. You see her on the back? She is literally, she collapses to the ground because she just saw something so incredibly beautiful. She just won the World Cup, going through a ridiculous trial,
which she also won.
Which she won.
Glad to hear that.
And she was just like, I can't believe I just like we as fans watching it,
right?
We're like, she's just like, I thought I seen it all. I thought I scored every goal possible. I thought I could do everything.
Better than yet. I think part of why she collapses is she's thinking, hey, I got to be a part of that. I have something to do with this. I'm going to be attached to this highlight forever. Because that is ridiculously incredible.
Yeah.
What happens. Whether she meant it or not, I could care less.
Doesn't matter.
Fact that this goal exists is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And also, maybe this gives, you know, a little bit more, you know, eyes on the women's game in Mexico.
That's right,
the,
yeah.
The Liga MX Femenil.
Yeah, even though Liga MX Femenil has, you know, you know, obviously they're playing Tigres. Obviously, they share a stadium and stuff like that. So, there's less fans in attendance. But there have been games, some really, really big matches, especially some of the finals. They're sold out. They're absolutely packed. So like, I would argue Liga MX Femenil for certain teams and even certain matches does better than NWSL when it comes to just getting fans in the stadium. So, but yeah, a moment like this obviously helps the brand.
A moment like this.
Sure, keep going.
I kind of got to the end of my lyric sheet there, bro.
This
end a lifetime. This for is, a moment like this.
This is a great moment just for, you know, every, you know, Tigres, even Liga MX Femenil, the admins, the social teams are like, yo, we got
it. Clips. Also, I didn't know this, but a lot of times social teams have responsibilities for a certain amount of engagement,
mm-hmm.
you know, so they're like
quotas.
Oh. Yeah, it's almost like a quota, like, hey, in the next month, we have to find a way to get a, you know, whatever, 200 million views or whatever across all channels. When this happened, they also dropped to their knees because they're like, yo, quota for this month. Hey, papa.
Bro, yeah. my performance review going to go crazy. Uh-huh. Yo,
I can't wait for my 90-day review, bro.
Nah, man. I was really happy about this moment. You know, just, again, seeing something like this where that you just sort of haven't really seen before. Oh, play Carter, play the goal from the broadcast, and I want to just play it with the audio so we can hear the announcers. Raise the volume there. Okay.
Señoras y señores, es para mí el gol más vistoso que ha marcado la maga.
Right there. Yeah. So Jacqueline Ovalle, her nickname is La Maga.
Which is the magician. Not the your aunt. You know?
Not your problematic uncle on Facebook.
Right? Not exactly.
Which is just a fun... you wonder if, you know, does it hurt the brand? Does it hurt... Does she think, hey, stop calling me La Maga right now.
Yeah.
It's not... You know, there's a American president that's really making it hot right now.
I think there's somewhere in I think it might be an Arabic country where MAGA is the word used for someone who's like easily fooled.
Ah.
Right? So that's better than the Spanish definition, I think. That one.
Just love language.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I know. Sometimes it just works in your favor. For Jacqueline Ovalle, not exactly.
Yeah.
You got to come up with like what's the name of a famous female magician? Do you know one?
That's an interesting question. Carter, do you know any famous female magicians? It's a very male-dominated field.
Yeah. He's saying no. By the way, he's afraid of the microphone. We got to work on this with Carter. You know how, like, little kids, they got the spoons that look like airplanes and stuff so that kids will...
Oh, sure.
We got to do that with the microphone for Carter. We got to make... I think we get a Kobe Bryant jersey and put it over the microphone. I think maybe that's the only way. He'd be instantly like, oh, what do you guys want to talk about now? Look at this microphone. It's beautiful. That's the only reason. He's waving no as if the show isn't one audio and two, the video, he ain't got a camera on there. So there's no way for you to know. It just looks like he's not paying attention to us.
So shout out to Jacqueline Ovalle. Again, it's such a really, really dope moment. And I mean.
Also, the fact that it happened in the women's game is great. The more focus and the more eyes we can put on that, the better.
Sure. And I did see a bunch of people being like, oh, this is a Puskas nominee. It's a Marta now. We all gotta adjust.
But I like it because now that's how we all learn. It's a Marta, right? We all learn together.
And if you don't remember, Marta won the first Marta award, which is
how dare you? How dare you not? Did Landon Donovan win the first Landon Donovan MVP? No, that happened after his career.
It wasn't named.
That happened after his career.
Yeah, it was like 2016 or 17 when it was called the Landon Donovan MVP.
It's a real shame.
I mean, I know Messi was proud to win it.
Yeah. He's like, finally. have something to compare me to Lennon Donovan.
All right, let's wrap up there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of The Cooligans. Next week, so you can a lot to look forward to because it's going to be our NWSL week. We have two incredible
Christian,
guests.
Who could be these incredible guests be?
I mentioned uh-huh. earlier, obviously Lola Bonta and also Dana Castellanos of Portland Thorns will be joining us.
La Reina, bro.
Next week. So be on the lookout for that because the NWSL season starts. I think we have Challenge Cup this weekend, mm-hmm. but then the regular season starts on the 15th, if I'm not mistaken. And so it's dope episodes, really, really fun interviews. You're going to enjoy them.
It's going to be MLS. It's going to be USL, it's going to be NWSL, it's going to be USLW, right?
Yeah,
it's going to be FIFA Club World Cup, it's going to be Gold Cup.
Well, USLW and USL Super League is the
USL Super League, yes. Well, USL Super League,
but they're both
yes.
they're both yeah valid things. Yeah, yeah,
we're gonna have so much. It's like summer's the time off. Oh, you thought so?
Nah, never,
not in America,
bro.
Baby,
no breaks out here.
Nah, we got so much to talk about.
Make sure you follow us on Blue Sky at soccercooligans.com. A lot of fun stuff happening.
It's so
there.
Confusing that the name of our website's also our, but just trust us.
Yes yeah. that is our handle on Blue Sky. And subscribe on YouTube if you have not yet. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
Do me a favor, instead of just subscribing, make sure you hit that bell, because that helps us. And also, if you hit like on this video, that almost helps us more than even subscribing, to be honest with you.
You know,
because that tells our algorithm, we need to show this to a lot more people.
Yeah, hit dislike.
Not just you.
Hit dislike.
Don't do that. Whatever you do, don't do that. But in priority now for the new YouTube algorithm,
leave racist comments. It's good for the algorithm.
Sure, do that. Actually, it might be, unfortunately. Don't do that, please. But in priority, hit the like button first. Then if you're going to hit subscribe, you better hit that bell at the same time.
Exactly. At the same exact time. Yeah, we're monitoring it.
I need to see how you do that. Get both them fingers at that iPad, bro.
All right. We'll see you on Monday. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy all the footy that you can possibly consume. We'll see you then.
Hey, you enjoy your weekend too. How about that?
You're talking to me directly or the audience?
Yeah, I'm looking you right in the eyes.
I don't know, bro. You might be talking to Carter. He's just not responding.
No, Carter doesn't say anything. Love you guys.
Take care, everybody. Peace.